Jewish Talk Radio on the BBS network. We've got also live broadcasting on the eSETI Stargate website. So if you go to YouTube, eSETI Stargate, you can check it there. And you can interact with us while we're doing the broadcast. So it's another little bonus that Robert has put together for us. And a lot going on right now. My guest tonight is Allison Coe, and she's a Portland, Oregon-based hypnotist, spiritual counselor, public speaker, and YouTuber who practices Dolores Cannon's quantum healing technique, QHHT, and a newer hypnosis version called Beyond Quantum Healing, BQH. From her full-time global session schedule, she's able to glean data about past lives, parallel lives, multidimensional selves, soul fractals, earth, earthlings, the universe, the multiverse, extraterrestrials, higher consciousness, soul purpose, new earth, the event, ascension, and our beloved ones that have passed away and are waiting for us. She often says she has the best seat in the house, and she's correct. Sometimes, if we're lucky, she gives us some insights into the sessions she's been having quite often. Just that glimpse can change your life. So any further ado, I want to bring Allison on. Allison, are you with us?
Hi. Hi, James. Thanks for the
Welcome
intro.
To the show. Yeah, I've heard of your work before. Other people kept telling me, you got to get her on the show. You got to get her on the show. And we've just been swamped with people. But now we've got some spaces in here. And I'm really, my focus here is to bring a lot of up and coming, you know, people, give them a forum. And with the conferences and the radio show and everything else. And it seems like you're right on the same page, you know, the same track that we are here at eSETI.
Yeah, it seems to be a natural fit. And I'm honored to be talking with you right now. I'm so thrilled. And we're looking at the same sky, it looks like, because you're just right above me, you know, north of me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Just beautiful.
Yeah, you're there in Portland.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people come from Portland and they go, well, we're not going to come up. It's cloudy. And I go, no, it's not.
You know? Yeah.
Because we're east of the Cascades, so it'll be totally sunny and clear here. You know,
absolutely.
Where, and especially Seattle or Portland, it'll be you know, pretty cloudy. But I mean, there's so much going on right now. I didn't even know where to start. But maybe we can start with, you know, what are you hearing lately? You know, from some of the information you're gleaning about, you know, where we're at right now, where the Earth is at, where it's going, you know, what's unfolding, and maybe, you know, ways of dealing, you know, with adjusting to this new higher consciousness and energy.
Yeah, it's interesting. I had some sessions recently where they said that 2019 was a year of panic. And I was like, crap, we can't call it that. Can we not call it that?
Yeah.
And they said that this is a year when so many waves of light will come, and these are smaller waves. They aren't, you know, they aren't necessarily saying they're the big crescendos, but they're wave after wave after wave of light. And I said, well, what is it that causes this panic then, if these waves are lighter coming? And they said, people are flipping out because of the energies that are coming with these waves of light. They're changing the way that they are interacting with not only themselves internally, but everybody externally. And then you have that on a global scale or even just on a family scale. People don't know what the heck is going on. They have nothing to anchor them. And so that's why they have been describing it as this kind of year of panic. My God. Okay, what can we do? can we do to help? And they said, all light workers need to wake up. They need to wake up. They need to show up, you know, and I'm sure everybody's been saying that for years. Mm-hmm. And they're like, now it's so essential. It's so absolutely essential. And they said, not only do the light workers need to show up and they need to wake up, but humans need to recognize that it's not just their consciousness that's affecting the earth and raising the earth's vibration. It's every single consciousness on this earth is having an effect on the earth and where it's at. And that humans have made a grave mistake by not recognizing these other conscious levels for the other beings that are out there, the trees, the you know, the animals, the water, the oceans, everything. And so we've made a huge mistake. And once we start recognizing that the consciousness of these other beings is so important, then we can actually raise it up.
Yeah, I agree that, you know, even the rocks are conscious and people have a hard time with that. And I just said, well, you know, a few times me, I was out, we have horses here, and one of the horses that I had when they were here was, I was out there talking to her and I was going, you know, I probably could have been a better friend to you. You know, I should have probably gotten you more grain and better hay and things like that. And all of a sudden she started talking back to me and I go, whoa, wait a minute, you know, wait a minute. And it was clear as a bell in my head, you know, and I just went, okay, you know, you had this all along, you know, you know, it was like, and so I noticed, you know, if you think they're dumb animals, that's the way they act. But if you treat them as a friend and talk to them, pretty soon you'll start, you know, you'll have a telepathic link with them and they'll start talking back to you.
Yeah. Well, it's the same for people too.
Hey, I work with this guy. He's got like 9 PhDs and he's one of these guys. He's not from here. You know, his DNA is off the schedule, off the line, but he and I have total telepathic conversations back and forth, and I just think about him and he calls, and you know, I'll be driving over, and he's a physicist, you know, a biophysicist and everything, and so I'll be driving along, and all of a sudden I'll get, you know, get a clear message to get him a cappuccino. He loves cappuccinos, you know, so I get this message, you know, cappuccino. Cappuccino, what? I go, oh, it's coming from him. And so I walk the door and he goes, you listened, you know, it's like really funny.
That is awesome.
Keeps telling me I have to work more on the telepathy, you know, the other stuff. But the what else are you hearing? Now, I know it seems like what I've seen is with some of the most powerful light workers I know are in their stuff is coming up, and it's the stuff that they've been so busy working on everybody else they haven't paid attention to, and it's that necromancer, that big key trauma that they've never touched before. Have you noticed that? It's just like a lot of light workers are just losing it, and they're irrational.
Yeah, it's interesting, James, because what happens, or the way I hear it in these sessions for what's happening, is that because light workers are generally a higher vibration, they're getting affected by this light first, and what happens to them, it's going to happen to the general population. Yeah. So they're the canaries in the coal mine, and what that is that great purge, of the of the final stuff that's sticking so hard down into them, that's affecting them, that's blocking them, the last big piece. So yes, that is actually happening to so many people. I received a comment the other day on one of my videos that said, I've noticed that all of the light workers who put out great content are suddenly quiet. They've been quiet for months. And I'm sure it's all for a similar reason. You got to focus on your stuff.
Yeah, I've been feeling that myself. It's like I've been going, you know, I feel like just kind of going within right now. And I've been out there battling, you know, the dark forces, you might say. And I said, you know, I think I'm just going to go within. And, you know, you always get blowback, you know, when you call the stuff out, you tell them what's going on. And here, you know, we live on a vortex here, and the energy is so high here that it does. It definitely hits everybody here first. Yeah. And people just love you. Say, God, I love you, Sadie. I feel the love and the bliss and the joy. And I said, well, in about 3 days, come back and tell me that, you know, because all your stuff is going to come up. That energy that you're feeling is going to bring all the things up that don't resonate with it to look at, to surface. And some people go into blame and projection mode and when their stuff comes up, and some people sit through it and heal it, you know, and own it and heal it. And the people that don't want to heal it, we just kind of move them on, you know, to say, well, we're here, you know, we're here when you're ready. You know, when you say no more and you don't want to look at this or heal it, then it's time, you know, to take that somewhere else.
If you're going to do it right, if you're going to own your stuff and you're going to heal it and you're going to move on and be the person you keep claiming you're going to be, and that's a process. That is not just a, you know, a one-day thing. That's a process. You actually have to sit. The hardest thing is to not numb during that process and actually allow yourself to feel it and give it the focused attention it needs. And sometimes that requires you to kind of reel in your focused attention from so many other avenues. And that should be applauded. It really should be applauded when people actually take the time to work on their stuff, you know, in the proper mm-hmm. way. And yeah, I think, you know, when you go to such a high vibration place as your ranch, that's going to, you know, it's going to pop up. It's going to pop up. Everything. It's like being cut open and having this pus show up. And you're like, crap, I thought the pus would stay hidden for a little while longer. Dang it.
Yeah, that's what happens. I have a sign on my door, you know, it says no drama. You know, it's a big sign with an X through it, you know, it says no drama. And the other one says, if I agreed with you, we'd both be wrong. You know,
right.
I have a couple. One says, I'm just sitting here. I have a T-shirt that says, I'm just sitting here. You know, when people are going through their stuff, I just go, I'm just sitting here. You know, it's like, right. Just hold the frequency.
Yeah, yeah, hold the frequency, hold the space. You don't actually have to say anything. You know, no. People just have to purge. That's the one thing, you know, let it out.
Go ahead. Go ahead, you got it.
I was just going to say, and sometimes those are the light workers, you know? They're the people who are on the forefront, the battlefield, trying to do this stuff. They're the ones who actually need the space. So I'm seeing that a lot. I'm seeing these people kind of hibernate, but I call it cocooning. You know, it's like they built a little cocoon and they dissolve in that cocoon and they're going to emerge as something different, something more powerful, something more beautiful. They give themselves the right amount of time.
Yeah, a lot of people say East Eddy is where the angels with broken wings come to mend. You know, it's like, it's a recharge point. When you come here, you can recharge and remember what's important and get down to basics, get grounded again.
Right. And that's a huge testament to probably what you're doing, because you can't have people feel that way if you're creating this disgusting place, you know, or if you have your own drama going on all the time. Mm-hmm. It's like, so that's huge. That means you're protecting that vibration, you know?
Yeah, I had a flyer up once for a while, and I just put it on my door, and it said, it goes, Luke, I'm not your father or your mother or anybody else that traumatized you. Sure, you can relate to that one.
Oh, my God. No, I get paid to do that. I get paid, you know, it's like I get paid to be the you know, the father, the mother. But maybe during my off hours, I need that.
Yeah, try running a retreat center. It's just like everybody's your family, and you become daddy to everybody.
Oh,
like,
my God. Oh, my God. How do you protect yourself? I mean, because you have to almost make yourself unapproachable in a way, I would imagine.
Well, I have ways that I just kind of, I have my own little space here, and I can just go in and close the door and put a sign on the door, you know, radio. I put radio show on, you know, so nobody's gonna, the little red blinking light on the door. It says radio show in process. Nobody bothers me. I shouldn't have said that. No.
I know, but it's still, it could be, you never know. You never know. And so you're not going to knock on that door. You're not going to be the one that interrupts.
But there's 70
Even
acres.
If there's nothing. Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
There's 70 acres here, and there's a lot partially forested. And there's a lot of places to hide here if you want to just like disappear. And or it's on a river too. You can just go down by the river and hang out down there, which I do a lot.
Do you ever have times when your property is just closed to the general public and you just, you know?
Yeah, right now, actually. Yeah, right now it's closed. And I think we're going to open up probably more like May 1st, I think we'll open up, but depending on the weather. We closed down after, probably the 1st of December. And usually the snow starts coming, and then it's just to keep it open with the snow and everything else. It's just too much trouble.
Yeah, absolutely. So how many full-time residents are there? Like just you and?
There's usually three of us, full-time resident, three or four.
Okay.
Maybe three right now in winter. Four in winter. We have four full-time this time. But and then we have a lot of volunteers come in, you know, during the spring. People start coming in and we start getting everything ready.
Yeah, that's a process and a half, right?
Yeah, we do a lot of workshops up here and conferences and things like that. Every time we've done a conference there, we've had massive flyovers, you know, massive ships have come over and powered up and juiced everybody on the ground.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, that's so wonderful. I would love to see that. I would love to have an experience with that.
Well, it's funny, in the UFO community, we're one of the most censored people in the UFO community, which is amazing because we have the evidence and we have the full spectrum. You know, we have the evidence, the physical evidence, the videos, the witnesses, the photos, we have all that. But we also have the higher understanding, you know, of the more spiritual side of things too. And so, you know, it's very kind of messed up, unfortunately, in the UFO field. You've got the, you know, the messiahs in there, and then you've got the nuts and boltsers, and everything's nuts and bolts, and then you got the back engineered, and then you got the victims, and then you have the everything is good. Everything is good. There are no negative ETs. And it's just like, it's crazy. It's just like, you know, you guys are all right. You know, there's UFOs are from our past. You know, they're from our future. They time travel. They're multidimensional. Some are positive, some are not. You know, it's all going on. But everybody thinks their piece of the pie is the whole pie, you know.
And it's kind of annoying.
But they'll get over that, you know, one day.
What is that analogy where they have like five blind men all touching a piece of an elephant? And they're like, no, it's long like a snake. This must be a snake. And it's one guy holding onto the trunk. And they're like, no, it's firm like a tree. And, you know, it must be a tree. And they're the one holding onto the feet. And like, no. So, yeah, you stick like so firmly to that belief, you know, you never get to see the whole picture. And what you're saying is like, you have that higher perspective, you get to see the whole picture. And that's fascinating, but nobody's ready for the whole picture. That's why they're censoring the crap out of you. They're like, don't look at
it. It doesn't matter because we're like, you know, everything comes back to a point and you be the point. And so everything keeps coming back here. And so I don't really care. You know, it's just like, I'm not going to go out and try to force anything or try to get anybody to believe. It doesn't matter that the evidence is there if they want to. But I like that other elephant. There's another elephant story that's pretty funny where this guy was seeking enlightenment and his guru touches him on the forehead, you know, and he's totally enlightened. And he walks out and this rogue elephant's going crazy with this guy on it. And it's coming down the road and he looked at the elephant and he goes, I am God. The elephant is God. You know, everything is love. Everything is joy. No harm shall come to me, you know. And he keeps saying this over and front. And the guy and the elephant's yelling, get out of the way, get out of the way. So he doesn't. He thinks he's all protected. And so finally the elephant just, you know, throws him up, slams him, kicks him, stomps him, you know. He comes crawling back into the guru. And he goes, I don't understand. He goes, I was one with the elephant. I was one with God. Everything was love and peace and joy. And he goes, What did I do wrong? And he goes, you didn't listen to the God on the elephant.
What a detail. We're all gods.
Yes. So
that's awesome.
You know, sometimes we get a little too lofty, you know, we get our head in the clouds and then we stumble in the ditch because we're not grounded or not paying attention.
Well, that's where like sticking to, I think, truth, you know, as much of truth as you possibly can is the best insurance you have. It's the best CYA, you know, that you can possibly have. And it's like not making sure you're not bending the truth, making sure that you're just speaking the truth, or at least that's kind of been my motto in my work. It's like, I just say what it is that I hear. I try to get as much backup data as possible from it. And that's it. That's all you can do. And people actually respond so well to truth. They can pick it up. They can pick up, you know, they have that meter in them.
Exactly.
It's so powerful. And that's why all points kind of come back to that, you know. It's like, that's why people come back to you probably.
Yeah.
You're speaking truth, you know.
Exactly. And I tell people my truth is flexible. You know, if more information comes in, it's verifiable and it's experiential, then then my truth might expand or might change, you know. So I'm not attached to it, you know, especially right now. I mean, you look at what's going on right now and the political agenda and all this other stuff. Everybody's just so damn sure they're right about everything. And you know, there's a much bigger picture playing out, but most people aren't ready for it. And, you know, and most people are working from their own trauma. You know, they're coming from their own wounds and traumas and victim patterns and things like that, rather than just settling down and using discernment and activating your own BS meter, which needs to happen. You know, that's like what you're saying. I think that is the most important thing right now, is people get their own inner sensitivity, their own personal connection with spirit, God, creator, whatever you want to call it, and develop a BS meter, because there's so much BS right now. Everything is flying right now, and it's hard to figure out what's true and what's not.
It is, honing that skill, that discernment level, is so powerful and so necessary. There's so much different information coming at you. I'll tell you, man, it would drive me absolutely crazy, because I would do these videos, right? And I would go through and listen to all my old sessions, and I knew there was something in there that kept repeating, you know, session after session after session after session. And these people didn't know each other. And so I would get all this information, and I would finally make a video and put it out there. And it takes me forever to make videos, because I'm like, I work full time at doing this, and then I'm raising a kid, and I'm, you know, relationships, all that stuff. It just was extra. I don't get any money for it. I just, you know, I would do it when I could. And so people would be like, this is amazing. I love this. It hits so many. It just rings true for me, all this stuff. It validates so much of what I've been going on. Then that same person would go the next day, would go and listen to somebody channeling on YouTube. Who knows if they're actually like what they're channeling, would listen to their message and say, oh, they say the exact opposite thing than you reported on, Allison. I believe what they say. They're saying the exact opposite thing, and I believe them. And it's like, where's your discernment in all of this? Like, I think that's a skill level that needs to be built on. You know, it's like, start figuring it out. You don't have to believe everything in the world. That's like, I think somebody said it, like, if you do that, you're like a fart in the wind. You know, you just blow everywhere. Like where the wind blows. And you're like, come on, you have to stick to something. You have to see what rings true for you. That is a skill. Yeah, go ahead.
We have a lot of fart jokes going around Eseti here, so you're right on the same page. We found out one of the highest forms of telepathy is fartopathy, and that's when everybody farts at the same time, because you're all connected and unified. Probably shouldn't have said that. But we have a crazy sense of humor.
We're in sync. Look, we are one. One big intestine and sphincter. Sorry.
It's so important. Laughter. People have no idea how important laughter is. And I think it's the highest form of spirituality myself. If you get people to laugh, everything just falls off.
Oh, God, yes.
You know, it's just, we need to learn to laugh at ourselves and laugh at this whole drama. It's almost, if it's fake anyway or false. But we need to get back into that tune. God, I lost my track. I forgot where we were.
I know, you got on to fart and then you can't get off.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll tell you, I'm from a family of seven, and there was never a quiet moment in our house growing up. Somebody was always farting. But the one person who never, ever farted was my mother, who was raised in a military family. And you never, ever farted in that family. And so we just all assumed she never did it. One day, she got up from the table as we were eating dinner. All seven of us were at the dinner table. She got up from the table to quote-unquote get something from the kitchen. And I made the horrible mistake of following her in there, because I also had to get something from the kitchen. Not quote unquote. No, I really had to get something from the kitchen. And I it was like the atom bomb had gone off in there. I don't know. I was like, what in the world just happened in here? And she's all, I had to fart. And I was like, you, what, have you been saving that up for 35 years? So anyway, probably. I just had to tell that story to somebody.
I know there's YouTube videos on that, you know, where they go down into this chamber because they're so afraid of a basic bodily function, you know, human bodily function. But yeah, we're in a free fart zone here, so it's okay. We don't have all those hangups. But
there's this one video really quick. May I just tell you, I don't know if you've seen it, but it's called Breaking the Fart Barrier on YouTube. And it's this couple who's been dating for a couple of months. And finally, the guy breaks the barrier and he farts in front of his girlfriend. And that was apparently her free pass to start farting in front of him. And after a couple of months, he can no longer stand it anymore. And he breaks up with her because she is so flatulent and so horrible. And anyway, it's the most hilarious video ever, because I remember having a relationship for 2 years and that dude never broke the fart barrier. And I had a stomach ache for 2 years. 2 years I had a stomach ache because the barrier was never broken. So after that, always be genuine.
You know, you can get those fart machines. They're kind of funny. But, and we had one in the mall once, and I laughed so hard my head, I started getting a headache. I thought I was going to have a stroke or something. I mean, I was kidding. I was laughing so hard that it was like my head was like, and I go, you guys have to stop. You just have to stop. I go, I got to go. I can't be around this anymore. I was laughing so hard. But I never reactions, and I noticed that the older people had a problem with it. They had issues with it, right? The kids just bust up laughing. They thought it was hilarious. And the people that, you know, are, I would say, were in their mid-30s or 40s, they were kind of hit and miss. You know, one would laugh and the other would have an issue. But I think it's something that as you get older, it gets, there's some weird program with that. But we're just observing that, and the kids, you know, they don't have any issues. They just, you know,
oh God, nothing is hilarious. Funnier.
Nothing is funnier. That. We gotta regain that, you know, that.
Yeah. Bring it back. Yeah. Bring it back. Oh my gosh.
Rather than let this show be a half an hour show on fart. Let's change the subject. We've got a, I know. So energetically, what are some of the people you're seeing, some of the information you're getting about just the changes, the earth changes, just energetic, physical, wherever you want to go with it? I'm just curious what a lot of your clients are coming up with or what you come up with.
Well, it's really interesting because apparently they keep describing it as pulses of light coming from the sun, pulses mm-hmm. of light. And it doesn't mean that they originate in the sun. That's just... I've heard it several times that the sun is a portal. And so it's opening up and coming through the sun, and these pulses of light that are affecting the earth. And supposedly they're affecting the animal, the plants, and then the water, then the animals, and then the humans. So, mm-hmm. and it's fascinating that we're going to notice these effects on a cellular level in that order. And that makes kind of sense because we humans are kind of these, you know, more complex machines, mm-hmm. if you will. And so we're not going to actually be able to see these effects on our cellular level as soon as the plants will and the water will. But they're coming mm-hmm. right now. And
They're all measurable, and NASA is coming up. They finally released their scales, and cosmic rays are off the scale. We're getting bombarded with gamma rays, X-rays, and ultraviolet and everything. That's all off the scale, and they're actually monitoring these big waves that are just pounding the planet right now. One just went through and just knocked our whole magnetosphere down. It was unbelievable. The pulse that hit the earth. I was surprised the grid didn't go down. We did have a lot of cell phone and other problems after that. But it was pretty heavy duty. And from my understanding is all the suns are connected and you've got the central sun and those pulses are saying, we're going to the next level. You know, it's forcing everything to evolve, you know, to go to the next level and get out of this denser program we've been running.
Absolutely. And that's why for humans, because we are so complex, we notice it on an emotional scale first, those changes, all that stuff that's being brought up into the surface. Because if you think about it, we can't fit new information or new beliefs or new energy into our system if we're full of all this old junk. The purge is absolutely necessary to fit any new energy in there. So that is why it's so important to allow yourself to go through these stages of getting all this stuff out of you. Mm-hmm. Whatever brings up, get it out. Whatever comes up, get it out. Whatever comes up, get it out. You know, it's so powerful. So many people, so many of my clients are going through that right now. And that's what I see.
Yeah. And it's so important not to blame and project. I mean, one of the key things is we've got to be monitored. We have to be self-monitoring. We have to monitor our emotions and attitudes and our reactions to things.
Right.
And not go into the blame and projection mode. And I'm seeing so many people go into that blame and projection, and they just need to be right. You know, I'm right. And I just go, well, not, you know, what is right? You know, it's all your, right. from your perspective, you know, it's like, you know,
perspective is everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so yeah, you're right. It's like having to actually be present with this stuff within yourself and then deal with it the right way, having the emotional intelligence or learning the emotional intelligence to deal with it the right way. That is absolutely essential, because if you deal with it with victimization or resentment, then you're just adding more stuff. You're just filling yourself back up with other junk, you know?
Yeah, and everything's getting energized, and then you're dumping it, and then that person leaves, and you go, God, why'd they leave? And you go, well, because you're dumping all your stuff.
Because they just got dumped on.
Yeah, and they love themselves so enough to set a boundary and go, oh, I think I'll go play over here. You know, it's like...
Absolutely. Well, I like the concept, and I think I don't know where I came across this, probably Facebook, like years and years ago. I haven't been on Facebook in years, so it would have been something like that, where it said, it was this meme, right? A picture, and it says, what you say about me tells me more about you than it does about me. And it's all because, like you were saying earlier, everything that a person says or thinks or believes is all about them and their own systems and what's going on in their head, you know? And you can get an insight into that based on what they say about you or anybody else walking around. And it is fascinating. So I've had people who complain on my videos. If I leave the comments open, sometimes I close them because I'm like,
oh, yeah,
I don't want any of that stuff. They'll say, I love your information, but you laugh too much. I'm like, that tells me so much about you that you don't even know. That tells me so much about that person. And they don't know, they don't realize they're doing that. They're telling on themselves, you know, when they do stuff like that. And it's absolutely on a psychological factor. It's absolutely fascinating when you take that mode and you look at people.
Yeah, when people are in a high level of consciousness and they're laughing a lot and they're, you know, everything's working for them or whatever, you know, they're a threat to those who are not. And you're reflecting back to them their lack of joy or happiness or and that they can't laugh. And they get very angry with that, you know, shut up, you know, like they get really upset about that. And again, all they're doing is you're just reflecting back to them their lack of happiness and their inability to laugh. And I learned not to take it personal. I had a yoga teacher once that she was from India. She's really powerful. And she made me stand up in front of the class. And there was about, oh God, I think there's 30 something people in this class. And I was a senior student at the time. And she goes, okay, James, I'm going to have you stand up in front of the class. And I said, okay. And I stood up there and she goes, okay, class, I want you to tell James everything you don't like about him and everything you like about them, and don't hold back. You know, just say whatever comes to you. Oh man! And they started ripping on me, and I'm going, whoa! I go, I'm not that. That's not me. You know, and like they're just saying all this stuff, and I'm going that. And it was like it was intense, and I go, holy crap! And then some people said some really nice, you know, really positive, really nice things. And so when I got through, and so she walked up there in the front, she goes, okay, everything you said about James is you. And that's what you need to work on. She goes, he's a mirror. He's a divine mirror. And he reflected back to you everything you like and don't like about yourself. So everything you like about him is within you, your good stuff, everything you don't like. And the things that they were saying were so far off, I mean, from each other. They're like total end of the spectrums. And it was really powerful for me because after that day, I walked away and I realized, I said, you know what? Nobody's ever going to know me. And I can't, you know, I'm going to be everything to everyone. That's just the way it is, you know, and I'm not responsible for them liking me or appreciating me or anything else. And I just learned to depersonalize all of it. And not take it personally anymore. And I think that's so important right now is we need to realize during this process, and the whole earth is in process right now, is that we need to depersonalize things and just hold space, you know. And sometimes we've got to practice a little tough love and, you know, tell people what they need to hear, not really what they want to hear.
Yeah, absolutely. No, that is a powerful exercise. I wish everybody could go through something like that because it is so spot on. It is so revealing. And yeah, wow. I love it. I absolutely love it. And people need that. They need exactly what you said, to not take it personally, all of the stuff that's going on, to not make it about them. What somebody around you is going through is not about you. And that is one of the rungs on the spiritual ladder. When you wake up and you start becoming who you are and you start tapping into the present moment, you start noticing that this jerk over here is being a jerk, and you like start judging him. You're like, I wish he would work on his stuff, you know? And then the next rung on the ladder is like, oh, I was being the jerk. That dude's on his own path. Leave him alone, you know? Just give him the space he needs to process and to go. And it's like, I was married, man. I know about that. Like, it's like the best thing I could do in my relationship was to give my husband space to be who he was when that's who he was, you know? And not bring him forth onto what I thought was the best path for him. And that's what we all need to do. Mind your own damn business, you know?
I like the one where the yogi was walking down the street and there's this drunk and he's angry and he's yelling and freaking out. And the yogi just walked by just smiling at him, and the drunk just stopped. He just stopped and stood and looked at him, and he just kept walking by. And, you know, his student was with him, and he goes, what was that all about? And he goes, oh, that was God expressing himself as an angry drunk.
Bingo.
Yeah. Bingo. Yeah. It totally stopped him in his tracks. You know, he didn't have that reflection back to him of what he was doing. It was, you know,
right. He projected. I accept you. You're beautiful. Move on.
Yeah. It was pretty interesting, but it's I love that saying, if it's not your coat, don't wear it,
you know? Yes.
Yeah. And a lot of times, you know, I'll be doing a lecture or talk, or I'll say something and people go, God, you really nailed me. And I go, no, I didn't. I was just talking. I wasn't trying to nail you. I was just I was just giving some information, you know. If it helped you, great, you know,
but yeah. Exactly.
It's not all about you, I hate to tell you.
I wanted to get back really quick to like what you said about, you know, being in front of your yoga class, right? And there were some people who said really amazing things, and then plenty who said really terrible things. And that is something I had to personally make note of for my videos was just because people were saying nice things didn't mean that I should give any more value to them than the negative things. Because I realized, A, it wasn't really about me. And B, it was, if I made it about me, it would just be food for the ego.
Yeah.
And I would have to validate both sides and neither of them felt comfortable validating. And so I just have to basically like be quiet all the time. You know, yeah. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of comments, which I'm sure, you know, you get too. It's like having to remain kind of quiet and not, you know, not respond because this can't be my food. I can't ingest this stuff.
Yeah, what I see is one of the traps in spirituality is people, they'll start out kind of as a victim trying to get healed or figure things out, and then they'll get to a level and then they'll get a few tools. And then they'll go into a little bit of spiritual ego, and if they don't catch that, they go into narcissism, and then they're gone. You know?
They're gone.
you can't help them. You know, you can't reach them after that. Bye-bye. And they have all this. You know, they have the Facebook spirituality. They have all the buzzwords. They say all the right things, but you know, and there's never any addressing the negative in there. It's always like, oh, God is love and joy and bliss, and I'm in the fifth dimension already, so. You know, and you hear all these states, everything else, and it's all an illusion, you know, and they say it's all an illusion. I said, well, see that tree right there? Take a run at it. Get back to me. Show me your illusion. You know?
Your pain is the illusion.
Yeah. Or you just, my God. You just punch him. You know, you just punch him and go, why'd you do that? And I go, do what? That was an illusion. Like, you're living in the past. Get over yourself, you know.
Oh my God. Yeah. To be able to be real and be like in this world, be able to, you know, mix and mingle with people on all levels. I feel like that is owning spirituality. That is owning awakening, is to be able to integrate it into your daily life so that you can't only use it at an ashram or at a monastery. You have to be able to integrate that with the people around you. You know?
Yeah, I had a massage.
Unconditionally. Go ahead, sorry.
I had a massage therapist, and she said something to me, and this was years ago, and she goes, you know, spiritual people are of no earthly good. I go, what are you talking about? You know, who are you talking about? And she goes, they're not grounded, you know? She said, they're not on earth. They don't have their feet on the ground, you know? Words without deeds are useless, you know? She was kind of funny the way she said that, and I really thought about it, And at a time, I mean, I just had an NDE. I had a drowning. I came back from that. And I was hanging out with a source, and I didn't even know I had feet. I was really having a hard time getting back and even holding this reality because the reality kept changing on me. But it was really, and that's what she said, you know. And my yoga teacher told me that too. She goes, "Man, you need to go eat a steak, you know, and get grounded."
Yeah.
And stuff like that. She goes, because you don't, she said the same thing. You don't even know you have feet, you know, you don't, but my problem is not going anywhere. It's staying here, basically. It's getting, and I know the more grounded I get, the more energy I can bring in as well.
So. You know, that's a lot of my clients' problems as well, is just not, it's wanting to leave. Basically, knowing where they're going, having had experiences with it, and not finding any reason to stay here. But the real reason they're here, and that's why it is revealed all the time in these sessions, the real reason you're here is because you knew how much light you could bring to this place, and you actually need to stay to get your damn job done. You know, we all have a job to do. We got to do it. Otherwise, what use is it? Why did you come here? You know, get your work done, spread that light, anchor it to the earth, you know? Anchor that stuff, that higher vibration energy to this earth. We need it so bad.
You know, a lot of people are saying that, do you feel bad about coming back? You know, why did you come back? And I said, you know, before, that was what I said when I was hanging out with the source. I said, I just want to return and teach people about the true nature of source and what it is. And I said, I've been rethinking that a lot lately. And they said, well, if a ship landed, would you get on it? And I go, yes, if the Pleiadians, probably. You know, I just said, boy, I've just been so beaten up down here. But I don't know. I kind of already fulfilled my contract, what I agreed to do. But but I want to see the end. You know, I want to see the flip.
You have the best seat in the house, man.
Yeah.
Look at you. You got this huge mountain, you got the skies open up to you, and you're on earth. So you get to see the shift. You got to feel it in the human body. And that's what I get a lot of too, is like, there are people that, this is a trend that keeps weaving its way through so many of my sessions. there are people who are having these contacts with these off-world beings, right, all the time. And they're in these sessions, they're asking about them. And it comes out, you know, these off-world beings are the higher dimensional fractals of your soul who are still trying to talk to you and send energy down for you to anchor it here on this earth. And that energy can look like art. It can look like science. It can look like, you know, healing, a new healing modality, what have you. You need to anchor that. It can look like a story, you know, via TV. It can look like anything. Whatever it is that's coming through you that feels alien, you need to anchor that on this earth and spread it out so people can be exposed. Because when they're exposed to this energy that we're sending down to you, it changes everything for them. It activates them. And so that's the trend that's coming through my session, is that these people are like, who are these aliens that are contacting me? Well, it's you, buddy. It's you. And you made a choice to actually fractalize yourself and send a portion of you down to be a human, to actually anchor this energy and then experience the shift in consciousness that's taking place. Because there is nothing like actually experiencing it. You know, not just watching it, having direct experience with it. That is something that will affect your whole soul.
And yeah, so, I tell people, yeah, you didn't come down here to be absorbed by all this. You came here to change it. And, you know, people think they're a body and a personality running around, but they're actually a soul. And that soul has a spiritual component that's multidimensional all the way back to the source. And that's what I just go up and down the continuum, you know, the vibrational continuum, and whoever's on call, you know, usually comes in and puts me back together or whatever, you know, so at times. But that's what we do in our counseling sessions. We find out who people's main teacher and guide is. We go into their past lives, and a lot of them are off world and things of that nature. But
that would be fun to see.
Yeah, we'll have to trade sessions sometime. I'd love to do that.
Would you? Can you do yours remotely as well?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that would be fun. We should do that. Oh Lord, you've had past life regressions and stuff, right?
I'm pretty aware of most of my past lives. Every once in a while, one sneaks in I didn't know about, but
yeah,
I've done everything. I've been a road bandit, a Viking warrior, a cripple. But I've been yogis and lamas and lived in other dimensions, you know, in the Orion system and Pleiades and all that stuff. So,
yeah, you've been everything. Yeah, you've had so much contrast, and that's the thing. It's like often it's not even a past life regression. You know, it's a parallel life, future life, life out of a body. You know, I just call it an experience because we have no idea. I literally have no idea where the person is going each day. Sometimes, you know, it's a mermaid life. Like, no clue.
Some people have a really, you know, the thing about that, and this is a little help for some people, is I thought when I had my, after the near-death experience, all these beings were appearing to me, and I didn't want to talk to anybody except for Jesus. Everybody were spooks, you know, and because of some upbringing. But, you know, Jesus brought Babaji, and he said, no, you need to learn the Eastern thought. And then he brought White Eagle, and I had to work. And I worked a lot with the Native Americans and a lot of ceremonies there. And I just learned all the different cultures. And he wanted me to be well-versed in all the different teachings and the cultures. And, you know, they just have different signposts, and they all lead to the same place, basically. That's the bottom line. But we all came from the same place, and we all go back to it. And I wish people would focus on that, but what I went through a crisis, and it was identity crisis, when I connected with my soul, and it's this big Viking warrior, and scared the crap out of me, you know, when I saw it. I had to heal part of that too. I had some things I had to heal there, but then I had my soul come to me, and then my Christ self came to me, and, you know, he goes, I am you, you know, and then my God self, everybody has different levels, names for the levels, you know, were appearing to me. And then this God being appears to me and says, you know, you're my hands and feet, you know, on the earth. And I was having a total identity crisis. And I was going, well, this guy's saying I'm you, and this guy's saying he's me, and I'm this guy. And I was just like freaking out, and my ego was still having a little problem. But with all of it. And then finally on the God self level, he told me, it's all you. You know, and then that's when I finally released it, and I let go, and I just realized, I go, God, it's like, you know, the one consciousness that encompasses all consciousness on all planes and dimensions throughout the multiverse is the source. And when you become one with that, everything is you. So it's
absolutely,
the identity just needs to be set aside. You know, it's not important. It's actually a limitation, you know, in the big picture.
Right. It's a limitation if it simply can't work with the bigger picture. It is certainly a limitation then.
Yeah. Everybody's looking for their soulmate. And I said, well, why don't you make God your soulmate?
And, well, you make the rest of your soul.
Everybody on earth is your soulmate, you know. It's like...
Well, I think it's fascinating that a lot of people don't realize that if they have higher dimensional selves living these other lives and they so identify with these higher level selves, and yet they won't identify with these lower level selves that also live that, mm-hmm. you know, whether that's on earth or off earth, whether that's a plant, you know, or a rock or what have you, we are literally all spread all across the universe. our soul is, and it's man, just accept it and claim it and live a life of peace between these beings. You know, it actually is. So it's, there's so much harm being done to each other on so many different levels, just because we don't have that basic understanding that we are spread across all these different levels. If we mm-hmm. knew we were fighting us, we would stop in a second. If we knew we were eating us, we would stop in a second. And that's where the harm needs to stop. Is that just that treatment?
Mm-hmm.
Mistreatment.
I've seen that over and over again. It's all the, one of these yogis, I remember what he said. He said, your whole problems with self is thinking you have a self. You know, it's like your all your problems, you know, come from having a self, you know, and when you let go of that, you know, everything kind of falls away. But it is interesting. But I'm seeing right now this, the energy is coming in. It's so strong that, you know, the need to be right is a big one. We got to just toss that out the door, you know, and that's trapping a lot of people. And, you know, the victim pattern underneath that, it's like, well, I need to be right here. And I was victimized in the past, and I'm not going to let that happen again. And I know I'm right. And it just keeps escalating. Yeah. And it's all about getting something outside of yourself, or something else is going to make you happy or validate you or whatever. It's all external kind of craziness going on. And it just seems the only way out is to go within and just love and accept yourself and approve of yourself. You know, and make your own personal connection, basically. That's, to me, that's the only way out.
And stop harming yourself. It's like, stop with the harm, the self-harm. You know, it's like, stop ingesting the stuff that's going to hurt you, whether that's media, whether that's music, whether that's, you know, conspiracy theories that don't actually benefit you to know, you know, or to dwell on. Whether that's, you know, digging up the past and then chewing on it and never processing it, whether that's actual disgusting food, it's like, quit with the self-harm and start loving yourself, you know, accept yourself, love yourself, and heal yourself. And you will be so useful to this world. So useful.
I like what Babaji said. He said, you know, the best thing you can give to the earth is to live a thoroughly loving, joyous, and abundant life, you know, and be an example. Be an example to others, it's so funny with me. I like, money comes in, it just goes out. It's like people freak out. I've had people screw me out of a lot of money and things, and I go, you know, they screwed themselves. They didn't screw me. You know, they screwed themselves, and it always comes back. You know, it always comes back, and then they lose it somewhere or even more. But you know, it's. This whole thing, but there's some big changes coming in. That's a whole show in itself. But this whole economic system is, you know, within the next 2 weeks, we're going to see some huge changes in it where it's going to be a lot more user friendly.
Yeah. And people need that. They need that because ultimately it allows for freedom. And that is one thing that people need in order to start working on themselves. They need the freedom to do that. And being tied into this monetary system keeps them a slave to debt, and it takes all their energy, and they have no free time to actually work on themselves. And it is so necessary
It is absolutely so necessary to have that freedom to do that. So yeah. That is what so many people are praying for. You know, I'm actually going through the process of, like, I think I mentioned, like, a divorce right now. And my family is flipping the hell out because I walked away from every single asset that I'd worked on with my husband. Wonderful guy. No, you know, my husband's a great guy. It's terrific. No bad words about him. He's just amazing. He's an amazing dad. He's an amazing friend. I've known him since he was 8. But I knew what was important to him, and that was having this financial security. And I knew that I attract so much money. Like, yeah. I just attract it. That's who I am. I'm like a magnet for him. So I knew that it was more important to walk away from every asset than to ever fight about it, than to ever even think about it. And I'm talking like hundreds of thousands of dollars in like equity and property, yeah. all this stuff, because it's a Portland real estate. It just goes up. Yeah. When we bought so long ago, you know, it's just going up. And so I just told him he could have everything. All I want is my freedom, because I know in that freedom, I will make like 20 times more than for that. And money's changing anyway. So what's the big deal? You know? And it's just here you go. Here's a gift to you.
Yeah.
Make it a gift.
A lot of times when you give it up, you get it back. That's what I found. You know, we're hitting the end of the hour, unfortunately. I know we could go on. There's so many subjects we could talk about. But what's the best way to get in touch with you as far as people getting a hold of you for some of your counseling work and the other work that you do?
Oh, yeah. They can email me at Allison, A-L-L-I-S-O-N, at soulfocus-hypnosis.com. Or they could go to my website, which is soulfocus-hypnosis.com. That's basically the best way to get a hold of me. And I have online booking, and I am full up. I never book past 3 months at a time because that feels like handcuffs to me, and I'm all about freedom, so don't lock me in. So basically I'm all booked up right now, and I'll open up April, May, and June here in probably the next couple weeks. So great. I'll send an email blast about that, or I'll just, you know, have it up on my website that I'm booking for that time.
Yeah, be sure and send it to us, because we can blast it out. We have a massive email list, and we could blast out on that.
Oh, that'd be wonderful. Yeah.
I'm sure you'll get a lot after this interview as well.
Oh, God.
We'll get you back on the show again. It's been awesome.
James, I thoroughly enjoyed it. Thank you.
We'll do it again real soon. We've got to sign off, but hang on. We'll talk to you again in a minute. But anyway, this is James Gillen signing off, As You Wish Talk Radio, and on the BBS Network. And it's also on YouTube at eSETI Stargate. So keep an open mind, loving heart, and pure intent. And stop projecting and blaming. And we'll get through these times. Anyway, have a great evening. Good night.